Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay, cool. What a blessing to be with you all this morning. Very excited to be here. So I'm just going to read the sermon text before Pastor Cohen comes up. And this, of course, is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And the leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jay. And thank you, Seth. Thanks also to the Russells up in the booth up there, making all this go smoothly. Much appreciated for all of you. I always love to see, because whenever the service first starts, I'm like, oh, it's not a ton of people turned out. And then I turn back around and I'm like, oh, look at all these other people that showed up. Thank the Lord. It's good to see all of you, really good to see all of you again. What a blessing to be back, right? What a blessing. So thankful. Well, as you saw, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1 today, so please go ahead and be there in your Bible or on your device. The title for this morning's message is The Compassion of Jesus. The Compassion of Jesus. And of course, you know that this is directed towards the healing of the leper. Everything that's going on right now with COVID-19 is, of course, creating within us differing levels of apprehension. In most of society, there's a fear to get too close to others. There's a fear of touching others or touching things. And of course, with those who might possibly have the virus, there's a strong desire to want to be at a far distance away from them. Some of them are even quarantined, of course, and that's healthy. But even in hospitals, when they're there, they get their own section of the hospital. No one can go over there except those who have been specifically designated to care for them. This is going to actually help us today grasp what's happening in our text a little bit better than we may have otherwise grasped it, because we're sort of having to live in something right now that causes us to want to be far away from others who might have something that we know if we get it, that's not good. I might die. I'll definitely be looked on with maybe a little bit of, don't know if I want to be around that person. And so the man in our text today, of course, as you saw, has leprosy. And as you heard, the Lord heals him. Well, there's a lot more here than meets the eye, because the text this morning, guys, it is full. It is rich. It was 5 verses, but I promise you there is a feast in these 5 verses. There is so much here. It's going to be good for you. There are some things under the surface that you may not have seen before, that you may have known about before. I can almost guarantee you that some of you will learn something today that you never learned before. I can almost guarantee. Not because of my wit, but just because there's a lot of treasure here. And you may not have dug down and gotten it all. And the Word of God is inexhaustible. So we will not get into all of its riches today, but it has riches to give us today. So let me pray. Please bow with me now so that we can feast on this with the Lord's help. Lord God, please help us this morning. I pray, Lord, please honor the preaching of your Word. Not because of the vessel who's delivering it, but because of the power that it has. Lord, I pray that you would use your word today, Lord, to break chains. Lord, please break chains with your word. Some of us are slaves to something that we've been slaves to for a long time. Maybe sin in general. Maybe we've not been saved yet, but maybe, Lord, other sins that have been oppressing those who are yours. Break chains, Lord. light up dark places in our hearts that need to be illuminated. Lord, show us the areas that we need to repent of. And of course, grant repentance, Lord. And Jesus, and I pray also, draw people to yourself. Draw us to yourself, and Lord, use this text, use this truth in our lives to help us this week and always to be more like Jesus, please. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. The word leprosy in biblical times was more of an umbrella phrase that could include any type of skin disease that covered a portion of the body, that caused sores. So they would use the word leprosy for almost any type of bad skin problem. And it wasn't always leprosy. However, more often than not, though, when the Bible does use the term leprosy, it in fact means straight up leprosy. Absolutely. Now, what is leprosy? Leprosy is a skin disease caused by a germ or bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. Now you know. It causes an infection that affects, of course, the skin, destroys nerves, and also can cause problems with the eyes and the nose. It also causes the loss of sweat glands and oil glands, which is why dry skin, flaky skin, ugly skin is associated with it. The Greek word lepis means scale, like a scale on a fish, lepis, which is how leprosy got its name. We've often heard that leprosy makes skin rot. I've even heard, I think, preachers say, if there is a leper, you'd smell him before you saw him because his skin is rotting. That's not actually true. It doesn't actually cause the skin to rot. The reason why we think that, though, is because often people with leprosy do have the shortened fingers. They do have infections and things like that. But listen to this, according to the American Leprosy Missions, the bacteria attack nerve endings and destroy the body's ability to feel pain and injury. Without feeling pain, people injure themselves and the injuries can become infected, resulting in tissue loss. Fingers and toes become shortened and deformed as the cartilage is absorbed into the body. Repeated injury and infection of numb areas in the fingers and toes can cause bones to shorten. The tissues around them shrink, making them short. So, like if you were to, for example, if you were to Google leprosy, I mean, unless you've got a strong stomach, don't do that. But you will see people with these shortened fingers, shortened toes, shortened noses, and things like that. And that's usually just, like we said, from infection, not because the skin is rotting and their fingers like fall off and their toes fall off and their nose falls off and things like that. But that's often what we've been taught and what we think when we think leprosy. Even in some movies, you'll see it sort of represented like that. So that's why I think most people usually think that. Either way, it's something that you don't want, right? I think we can all agree on that. Whether it causes skin to rot or not, we all know it's definitely something that we don't want, nor did the man in our text today. Look at verse 40. And the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, we don't know how badly this man was affected by his leprosy. Depending on how long he'd had it would determine how badly he looked. So yes, the length of time affects how he looked, but it would not have affected how he was viewed. You know what I mean by that? The length of time that he had it would, the longer he had it, the worse he would look, but whether he'd had it for 3 months or 30 years, that did not affect how he was viewed by outsiders. He still had leprosy. He was an outcast, pure and simple. Whether he'd been a leper for 3 years or 3 months, he was just viewed by someone to be completely avoided. Many people believed in that time that if you had leprosy, you were actually cursed by God. They saw it as a curse upon you. Remember when the disciples saw the blind man, he didn't have leprosy, he was blind, but they said, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" there's a big misconception back then of if you're sick, you're obviously wicked. Hence the book of Job, right? So there were rules for a leper. They were required to stay more than 6 feet away. They were required to stay 50 paces away from other people. Many lepers were required to wear torn clothing. Many were required to wear a covering over their face. And they had to cry out, as you know, you've heard, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, as they were traveling. They were forced to live in isolation. They had to, according to Jewish law, go outside the camp of the Jewish people. The camp was considered safe and even holy at times, but you had to go outside the camp. You could not live among the people. The Jewish historian Josephus, who lived after the time of Christ, not much after, but after, he said that lepers were sometimes considered, quote, in no way differing from a dead person. So every part of this man's life had been affected by this disease. Every single part. Where he could live, when he could travel, what he had to say when he traveled, what he had to wear. But this leper somehow heard about Jesus. And he heard about what Jesus could do. Because news was spreading quickly about this man. And our text says, and the leper came to him. Leper came to Jesus. We don't know when, rather, he could have only known where Jesus was going to be at that time when he saw him, because he would had to have been watching him. He could not have encountered him in the synagogue. Why? He wasn't allowed in the synagogue. He was unclean. He could not have encountered Jesus while large crowds were around Jesus. Why? He wasn't allowed to be in those crowds. He had to have been watching Jesus from a distance. And how elated he must have been when he saw Jesus is traveling. He's moving. He's going away from the crowds. Remember, he left Capernaum and he told him, remember our last sermon? Let's go to the other towns and villages. I must preach there also. So he's on the move. He finds Jesus. He comes to him. And what does he do at this point? The text mentions that the man was imploring him. And the leper came to him imploring him. That means earnestly begging. Earnestly begging. Not just like, please. Earnestly begging. That's what it means to implore. He was desperate. His body was diseased. His heart was desperate. Now what about his posture? What's going on with his body? We know it's disease, but what posture does he take for him at this point? We know he's imploring him because look what it says, kneeling. Kneeling. The leper was a humbled man. He's kneeling before Jesus. Probably would not have been able to feel the dirt or rocks possibly under his knees because those nerve endings would be dead, but he's kneeling before Jesus. No cure available at this time in history. And with the extreme limitations that this forced upon him, the social stigma it carried, the disease truly had wrecked and was wrecking his life, he's extremely desperate. And he says something to Jesus, one sentence, two parts. One sentence, two parts that he says to Jesus. What does he say? If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. So if you will, let's focus on that first part. The man realizes Jesus does not have to do this, which is a good attitude to have when you're sick and you go to Jesus in prayer. You need to realize he is not obligated to heal you. And if you're hearing a message that's telling you, oh, Jesus, if you just get things in line, you line up your faith just right, he'll heal you. He will. Just rub that genie lamp just right, and the genie pops out and grants you three wishes. That's not God. That's not the God of the Scriptures. That is a God preached from some pulpits, yes. But it's not the God of the Bible. This man gets that. He says, if you will. He understands that Jesus has a will, and Jesus' will supersedes his will, and Jesus' will is the best will, and so whatever he wills is actually what's best. And this man says, if you will. He realizes that he has no way to force Jesus to do this. He can't strong arm Jesus. Jesus is all powerful. He can't blackmail Jesus into doing this because Jesus had never done anything wrong. What dirt are you going to have against Jesus? He's utterly dependent on the pity, mercy, and the compassion of Jesus at this point. Completely dependent. He's desperate. He's diseased. And he's dependent. And though this man was lacking in many things, this disease had taken everything from him. He was lacking in so much. He did possess one thing, and that was great faith. Look what he says in the second part of his sentence. If you will, you can make me clean. The man's concern wasn't whether or not Jesus could do it, but whether or not Jesus would do it. He knew he could do it. He absolutely knew he could do it. He knew that he knew. He had faith that Jesus could do this, but would he? Would he do it? Look at verse 41. Moved with pity, he, that's Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. So those first three words, moved with pity. If you've got the New International Version this morning, you're reading from that, perhaps. What does it say? It says, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Our word, our English word compassion, comes from two Latin words, com, C-O-N, which means with, and then pati, which means to suffer. And then those got put together and made into one Latin word, compati, which means to suffer with. And that's where we get our word compassion from. It means you suffer with someone. Like, for example, when you see someone in a bad situation and you say, oh, gosh, I want to help him. I want to help her, or we should help him, or we should help her. You know what you're doing in your brain? In your brain, you're looking at that person in that hard situation, and you're sort of entering into their situation, aren't you? And you're saying, oh, gosh. Imagine what it would feel like to be in that situation. See what you're doing? You're suffering with them. That's why we call it compassion, because you're entering into their world for a moment, just in your mind, though, and you're thinking, oh, man, it'd be so horrible if I was like that. It'd be so painful if I was like that. So therefore, I'm outside of this person, and I'm able to help this person, so I want to help this person now, because I sort of feel like what that would be like. So that's what it means to have compassion. And Jesus often had compassion. Listen, this is just four examples from the book of Matthew. I found four examples in Matthew of Jesus having compassion. Listen to them. I'll just shoot them out to you real quick. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 15, when Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse in the way. And then here's our last example from Matthew 20:34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Those were the two blind men. So we see multiple times in the scriptures Jesus having compassion. Or like our text here says, pity. Same word. That's what moves Jesus to help this man is his pity, his compassion. That's why our text says, moved with pity. His pity, his compassion moved him to help this man. And then what's next? Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Okay. We might just look at that and be like, okay, nope, no big deal. He touched him. He touches people all the time. We're going to get back to this in just a second, but let me just go ahead and just tell you right now, this was a big no-no. Just put it in simple terms for you. You don't do that. You're not supposed to touch someone with leprosy. We're going to talk about why in just a moment. Reaches out his hand and touches him and says to him, again, one sentence, two parts, I will be clean. It's an exact like correspondence to what the man said. If you will, you can make me clean. I will be clean. If you've got the NIV, it says those two phrases say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus answers, I am willing. And so I am willing. Be clean. And this be clean is like a command. The leprosy had no choice at this point but to flee. Those bacteria, those germs were not like, oh no, we are hunkered down and you try as you might, I'm just going to hold on real tight. No fight involved here, okay? Jesus has absolute authority. We've been seeing that. That's been a theme so far in Matthew, Mark, like I told you it would be. The authority of Jesus is really brought up here, especially for his Roman readers. They would have really resonated with that. And so what do we see? He commands, he possesses all authority, and because of that, this man is made perfectly clean. He, Jesus, possesses cleanness within himself. Because he is perfectly righteous, he's perfectly pure, he's perfectly holy. Now, what was supposed to happen is this. What was supposed to happen when the touch happened is this. Because in the Old Testament law, we read that if you touch anything that's unclean, a dead body, someone with leprosy, it doesn't matter. If you touch anyone or anything that's unclean, then you become ceremonially unclean. You have to go through this ritual of becoming clean again. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's 7 days. So what was supposed to happen is this. Here's the unclean leper. Here's the hand that touches. Boop, the hand touches. That uncleanness then travels to the other person, and now that person is unclean. What happened was this. This person possesses all cleanness, touched this man, and reversed it. Full of power. Jesus has the ability to override the natural course of things. That's why we call his miracles supernatural. Super, again, Latin means over. It means above. It means beyond. Beyond natural. Over the natural. Above the natural. That's what Jesus can do, and that's what he does. And let's see what happens. Verse 42, does it work? Is Jesus able to do this? I hope so. Verse 42, and immediately, there's our word. Mark loves that word, doesn't he? Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. This man had a disease that could not be cured apart from supernatural means. There's no cure at that time on planet Earth for this disease. You got it? Congratulations. You're going to die with it. So this man has this disease, could not be cured. He comes to Jesus, believing Jesus can deliver him. He bows down, ask Jesus to heal him of his disease. Jesus possesses what's necessary to cleanse him from his disease. And Jesus willingly cleanses him. What's cool here is this. Let me tell you guys about something. Let me tell you guys about a wonderful truth. Did you know that in your Bible, did you know that there's actually a thread, needle on the end, thread. It's a red thread, by the way. It's threaded all through the scriptures. And it's a gospel thread. That's why the thread's red. It's the blood of Jesus. There's a gospel thread that goes all the way through the scriptures. It doesn't matter where you are in the Bible. There's something about Jesus there, or something that at least you can learn something about Jesus from it. And every so often we'll see pictures like this where the gospel has been threaded through it and the gospel comes out so clearly. And this is one example. Why? Because this story is not just about Jesus curing a disease. It's not just about that. You're not just meant to read this and go, cool, he doesn't have leprosy anymore. What's next? There's a lot more happening here. There's something so much bigger happening here. What's it pointing to? It's pointing to the gospel. How do we see the gospel in this? Well, let me tell you. Sin is our disease. Guess what? You are the leper in this story. You're him. Sin is our disease. We've got it. It has wrecked our lives, and it is wrecking our lives. The more it grows, guess what? The more numb you get too, but not numb in your skin, numb in your heart towards what sin is actually doing to you. Numb to just how damning sin is to your soul. Also, like leprosy, the more it grows, the more unsightly we get. But not on the outside, on the inside. Like leprosy creates a distance between you and everyone else, your sin, our disease, creates a distancing between you and the Lord God Almighty. Leprosy would have kept him out of the holy places, and your disease keeps you out of the holy place. You are outside of the camp because of sin. It puts you outside of the camp too, doesn't it? God's camp. If a leper only looks at other lepers, he doesn't really see a big problem, does he? He doesn't. Until you realize that sin is your biggest problem, that it's keeping you from God, keeping you from heaven, and that it's actually your biggest problem, and that it's actually the root of all your other little problems in life too, until you get to that realization, until the Holy Spirit convinces you of that, you won't come to Jesus. You'll just keep hanging out with the lepers and thinking you're good. Until you're convinced that Jesus can cure you of your sin, you won't seek him out like this man sought him out. You won't. You'll look at him from a distance and you'll say, he's a good guy. Look, he's doing good things. He goes to the synagogue and he heals people. Hey, I think Jesus is thumbs up. Nothing against him. But you won't come to him. Just thinking Jesus is a cool guy does not get you in heaven. Until you're desperate, so desperate that you don't even care what people think about you if you go to Jesus, you won't come to him. Until you realize that you are absolutely dependent upon the sheer grace, the will of another to save you, you won't be saved. You continue to depend on yourself. And until you're willing to humble yourself like that leper on his knees, asking for forgiveness, you won't be saved. Jesus reverses the curse. That's what we see here. Jesus reversing the curse, don't we? Because of his compassion, He reverses the curse. What curse? Well, the sin of the curse of Genesis 3. You've heard of Gen X and Gen Z and all this. Well, we're all Gen 3, actually. We're all a product of Genesis 3. That's when sin entered into the world and it affected us all and plunged us all into the curse. And you're born that way. No one has to teach you to sin, but Jesus reverses the curse. He reconciles us back to God. Sin separates us from God. Jesus reconciles us back to God. He cleanses us and brings us back into the holy place, back inside the camp. This is a picture of him taking the curse upon himself. Listen to Isaiah. There's some verses from Isaiah I want you guys to listen to. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. This is a picture of him taking our sin curse upon himself, because that's how he reverses the curse. He takes it upon himself. Listen to verses 4, 5, and 6 from Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You think, wow, what a very clear description of what happened to Jesus at the cross. Well, let me blow your mind even more. That was written 700 years before it happened. That's a prophecy about what happened to the cross 700 years before it happened. This narrative in Mark is pointing us to the fact that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ cures you by taking your curse upon himself. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Second part of it here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So Jesus reverses the curse by becoming a curse for us, standing in our place. When he died on the cross, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins, he did not deserve that. He didn't do anything wrong, but he chose to become a curse for us, to reverse the curse by dying in our place and then rising again from the dead on the third day. Once Jesus said to the man, "I will be clean." Do you know his skin that was previously rough, irritated, diseased, ugly, scaly, gross? Do you know it became as if it were the skin of Adam in the garden the day that God made him? Perfectly pure, perfectly clean. This man was cured, and he was clean. But Jesus had two things to say to him. He had two things that he wanted to say to him before they split ways. Let's look at what it was. Verses 43 and 44, look at those with me. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." So he gave him two commands. Don't tell anyone about what's happened here, and go offer the appropriate sacrifices to the priest that Moses commanded. So let's talk about the first thing here. Say nothing to anyone. You're like, why not? It's only the second person in all of human history that we know of at that time to be healed from leprosy. If you know your Old Testament well, you might remember that Elisha also healed a man from leprosy. God used him to heal a man from leprosy. Remember, he told him to go dip in the Jordan seven times, and he came out clean. So why not tell everybody? I mean, I'm telling you right now, if I got cured of leprosy, I mean, I would want to tell everybody. Listen to what Daniel Aiken says in his book, Exalting Jesus in Mark. He's often called Danny Aiken. He's the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And South Carolina, North Carolina, Jay? Where's that seminary? It's not in Alabama. It's North or South Carolina, I believe. Cool guy, Danny Aiken. This is what he said. Jesus sends him packing with a command to keep his mouth shut. Jesus does not want people to merely seek miracles. He wants followers to seek him. People are always tempted by the sensational. Jesus desires followers who long for truth and want to know him. He doesn't want people to come to him to get what they want. He wants people to come to him to get him. thought that was very well said. I thought that was very well put. Like we saw last week, Jesus does heal people. Yes, he does. But we also saw last week his priority is preaching truth. Why? So people will hear the truth and be saved from their biggest problem, which is what? Sin of the heart. That's actually what's damning you. That's what's keeping you out of heaven. That's the root of all your problems, is actually your sin. However, you don't think that when you're in it, because sin feels good, doesn't it? We like it. But that's the heart of the problem, is the problem of your heart. It's twisted. It's mixed up. And you think it's good for you. And the world tells you it's good for you. I mean, look at all these TV shows and look at all these people that are living horribly and they're saying, this is the life, man. It's actually the death. There's a way that seems right into a man, but the end of that way is death, the Bible tells us. You don't actually know real joy until you come to Jesus. It's a pure joy that's so much different from a temporal pleasure. You've been living from temporal pleasure, and then you get joy, and you say, oh my goodness, wow, this is better. The second thing Jesus tells them is this. Go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. And what's he talking about here? Most of you probably don't know about this sacrifice that was required to be offered to the priest at the temple for cleansing if someone was cured from leprosy. But there's actually a command in Leviticus chapter 14. There's actually a command that God gives. On the day that someone's cured of leprosy, this is what they're supposed to do. A whole chapter about it. Which is just a precursor, I think, to God knowing that because my son's going to heal someone of it one day. Listen to this. This is another example of a gospel thread. This thread is threaded tightly through Leviticus 14. I mean, there's red thread all over this chapter. Leviticus 14, verses 1 through 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Now, first of all, that's pretty cool. Could the leprous person come into the camp and show himself to the priest? No. The priest had to go outside the camp to the leprous person to see if he was truly healed. That's just a little hint there of Jesus leaving the holy camp and coming to us in our leprosy, right? So that's just one cool thing that I thought was there. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed and in the leprous person, verse 4, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live, clean birds, and cedar wood, and a scarlet yarn, and hyssop, and the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. Now watch this. This is really cool. I remember the first time I saw this, and I was like, oh, my word. It was in the summer of 2000, because I remember I was on my very first mission trip ever to Belize. It was a 3-month mission trip. I remember studying this and just being like, you got to be kidding me. This is the gospel in Leviticus right here. Watch this part. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, dip them. Okay, make sure I get this right. Okay, yes, verse 6. I'm sorry. I just don't want to mess this up. It's really good. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water, and he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who was cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and let the living bird go in the open field. Do you see what happened there? We got two birds. We've got one is killed over fresh water. Its blood is poured out into this water. It's just a now mix of bloody water. And then they get the live bird and dip it in the blood, and then they let that bird free. Do you see that? Do you see that picture there? There's a reason why that old hymn was written. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. You know that old hymn? That's amazing. That's a picture of us. And Jesus, he's killed. We're plunged in his blood, and you're let go free to fly. And then guess what? Everywhere that little bloody bird lands, he leaves a little bit of that blood everywhere he lands. Everything he touches is now going to have a little bit of that blood on it, right? That's also an example of what you and I are supposed to do. I told you learned something you didn't know. But verse 45, does this man obey Jesus? Does he keep quiet about it? Verse 45, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So there's still more gospel here. Where? How? How is there more gospel in that? First of all, what's the man do? Well, maybe I should ask, what doesn't he do? He doesn't keep quiet about what he was supposed to keep quiet about. He disobeys the Lord Jesus, and he goes out and he tells everyone about it. His disobedience, though, has now caused him and Jesus to have to trade places. Jesus now has to dwell out in desolate places, where now the man is free to go around and talk to everybody. You see, this is also another picture of substitution. Substitution, Jesus taking our place when he cleansed us. He was put outside the camp. My God, why have you forsaken me? So that I could be brought in. So that you could be brought in. So sinners could be brought in. That's why Jesus was forsaken. And so now we see this man and Jesus Christ have traded places. Now Jesus has to dwell out in desolate places like the leper used to. And now the leper's just, he's free. He's free to go around. Because Jesus was separated from the Father, we now have access to him. Because one was slain, the other is set free, like the bird. Listen to what Danny Aiken also said. The rabbi said that it was as difficult to heal a leper as it was to raise the dead. Both are impossible for man. Neither is a problem for God's Son. He cleanses the defiled, raises the dead by simple touch or by simple word. He truly touches lives and makes them whole, unquote. So in conclusion here, I want to ask this. Has Jesus done that for you? Has Jesus done that for you? Has he cleansed you of your sin? If he hasn't, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of grace. There's grace still available for you today. Jesus is full of compassion to sinners. He is kind and compassionate to people who come to him humbly and say, if you will, you can make me clean. In my heart, he receives sinners. He's good. So I would say, sinner, come. He wants to forgive you and make you clean. His answer to you would be, I'm willing. Look what I did. Look what I've already done for you. He's full of compassion to all who come to him in faith. Christian, those of you who do know the Lord Jesus, Jesus has touched your life, right? He has cleansed you. He's made you clean. My counsel, my loving admonition to you would be this: reach out and touch others who are untouchables, okay? Everywhere you land as the free bird, I want you to leave a little bit of truth, leave a little bit of Jesus there. So I want to encourage you, share the gospel. Give it out to people. Any way you can. Be creative about it. We've got Gospel of John books back there. They're meant for visitors, yes, but they're also meant for you to grab a handful and give them out to people, that people may be saved. So, Christian, be compassionate towards others. Share the gospel with others and be like Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this feast. It is so good. And Lord Jesus, I know, I don't even have to wonder. I know that you've spoken to hearts, Lord, and I pray that you would please help us now to walk in obedience to what you've said to us, what you've put on our hearts. Help us to walk in obedience to that, Lord God. Give us grace to either come to your dear Son for the first time today, for the first time ever, and doing it today, or, Lord, give us grace to be like him. And we'll thank you so much. In his name, amen.